Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Chad Dukes versus the world on 106.7. The Fan, been teasing this all day. One of my favorite people in the world, of course. He's a guy that's from this area. He's made it good in what? Let's see, mixed martial arts, professional wrestling, bodybuilding. He just got another belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he's got a little indie film coming out this weekend. My buddy and yours, Mr. Big Dave Bautista, joins me on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. David, it's always a pleasure. How have you been?
I've been good, man. I got to point out that for some reason, that video of me getting my purple belt recirculated. But I actually got it like 4 years ago.
Really?
That video was from like 4 years ago.
Dude, it was all over the place about a week ago on the internet.
Yeah, I don't know where it just kind of had a resurgence. It just came back to life, yeah.
Man, that's crazy. But,
yeah.
Well, it's still you getting whipped with belts and handling it a lot better than I would.
Yeah, no, it's one of those moments where you're just so, you know, you're so excited to make it to the next level. It's a hard step to make, and in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they don't just like pass out belts, so it's like a big deal, especially a purple belt, because you really come into your own as a purple belt.
I feel like
you're starting to actually create stuff.
I feel like you don't have enough irons in the fire, brother.
You know, I mean, it's weird, man. I'm good at a lot of things, but not great at really anything. Yeah. So I spread my mediocrity around.
dude, I didn't get a chance. You were so swamped. I wanted to tell you how great Guardians 2 was, and I was.
Well, thanks, man.
I was so happy because I've had a chance to interview you a couple times, and I know you're a funny dude. But I think when people look at you, they're like, "Look at this monster! Look at all the muscles!" I mean, of course, action hero. Right. You were a comedic actor in that movie, man, and it killed. I bet that felt pretty good.
Yeah, it felt great. It's weird because I didn't think the role was going to go that way, and I don't really find myself funny. I always give credit to all that stuff for James because he's such a great writer, and he really writes good stuff for me, and I kind of deliver it and put it out there, but it's hard for me to take credit for that stuff. Drax, I've kind of come, you know, to own that character, and I kind of made him what I wanted to be. But Drax, James writes for him, and I'm James Gunn's muse. So he gets a lot of personal humor or joy out of me saying the silly crap that he puts on paper.
Perverse pleasure, I get it. Well, for those people that don't know, you're a fan of all this stuff, man, and have been as far as comics and the source material.
Yeah.
And Guardians is such a massive hit, but what has it been like to you to integrate those characters and that atmosphere into this massive undertaking of Avengers?
It's surreal. It's a really weird thing because it's hard for me to say this without making, I don't want to sound like I'm dismissing anything, but I really remove myself from Avengers because it's not so personal to me. Which is, may sound weird, but on the other hand, I can really enjoy it as a fan. Guardians is so personal to me because of, the way it happened, the time in my life that it happened, what it did to change the direction of my life, and also the people involved. And we feel like we kind of, really started something special together when nobody expected it to be much, where the Avengers was so big and so established already. So I've kind of stepped in, and it's and I play like a very small part, an important part, but a small part in this big, gigantic universe of the MCU where all these characters are thrown together. And it really is. I think it's like 18 movies over 10 years that have been, crossed over into one or two separate films. But it's such a worlds collide thing, and it's just such a great thing for me to watch as a fan because I've been wanting this to happen for years. I mean, you can go back and see interviews that I did before Guardians 1 was released saying, God, I hope this crossover happens. It would be a dream come true for this crossover to happen. And it actually, watching it on film, it's like, and it lives up to the hype, man. It's really just a well-done film. It's smart. It's thought out. And logistically, it was a nightmare. But I can't believe that they took 10 years of storytelling and put it together, and they take bits and pieces. Have you seen it yet?
No, dude, I'm going tonight. You're freaking me out.
God, you got to watch. You'll see. I mean, if you've been a fan over the years, you'll see where they just they took bits and pieces from every franchise and just put it together. It's literally, it's like a geek's wet dream. It's just it's just amazing. And you know, the best thing about it too, and I have to say this, it does feel, because they, you know, it's a two-part film, and it, at the end, man, it's hard to absorb. It's you know, it leaves you wanting more for sure, but it's also, it just really hits you in the heart. I mean, it's really got a lot of emotion, this film, and I love it.
Well, that's, look, I mean, I feel like you guys are lucky in Guardians because you got to create your own universe, and it felt very comic-like, where it's like, hey, we're out in the cosmic, and we're associated, but you built your own vibe and your own feel and the music and the character development, and to try to take that and add it to what's going on with Robert Downey Jr., like, I want to see it. I'm all for it. But I was dubious because it's like Guardians is such a unique thing, and I think that's why so many people related to it.
Right. And it's weird, man. You're going to see how, you know, they really kind of meld these characters together. And we do bring a certain vibe to this film, but I think it's really needed. And I think, too, it really just adds, but it's weird because it's almost like, to me, watching it, like watching us as a group, the Guardians, do our thing and have kind of Avengers join in, it almost feels like they come into our vibe rather than we go into their vibe. The Guardians of the Galaxy, they're just a very special clique. It's this very special, unique vibe. And we just, you know, when there's the group of us, yeah, I think we just kind of own whatever scene we're in. You know, I mean, that's just a personal thing, but I really feel like Guardians is that strong of a unit.
Do you get, you know, I can't ask you that, damn it. I know Drax's character, it is very much about how he deals with Thanos. And so I won't ask you. I'll ask you after I go see it. Yeah. Infinity War, it doesn't need my help, but for Jesus Christ, everyone's going to go see it this weekend. It's going to be the biggest movie of all time. Brother, I watched the Hotel Artemis trailer that you have coming out.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. And take this for...
I'm so excited about this movie, man.
It's a hotel for crooks, and you're throwing people through walls, which I could watch forever. Jodie Foster's in it, which is, you've worked with every big actor on the planet now. How did you get involved with this project?
It's weird how it came about. So the writer-director, actually, he's a very accomplished writer, but this was his first time crossing over into directing. So he wrote this script, and he's actually written one of the Iron Mans. I think it wasn't Iron Man 1, but I think he may have written 2 or 3. He's written, I mean, some bunch of really big stuff, Mission Impossible. He's really accomplished. But anyway, so he had the script, and it was actually Jodie Foster who had gotten a hold of the script and fell in love with it and had gone to him and said, you know, we need to do this. And so the next person they needed to cast was Everest, was myself, because it's just us two running this hospital for criminals. And so he called me up because he had loved my performance as Drax, and he asked me if I'd be interested in doing a film with Jodie Foster, and I fainted, and after I woke up, I got back on the phone, and I said, are you serious? And he said, yes, and then I fainted again. And then after I woke up, but anyway, it's just incredible, man. And there's, you know, it's weird because when the trailer came out, the first thing people did was make some comparisons to John Wick,
man,
because of the Hotel Continental.
Yeah, it looks like.
And as soon as, you know, it's weird because the trailer is very short; it's a couple minutes. But as soon as they see this film, they're going to throw the comparisons out the window. Not that comparison is an insult; it's actually very much a compliment because I love John Wick. I'm a huge fan. But anyway, they're just, you know, there's just really not, it's just not the same film. It's not the same. It's way, way different. But it's really, I saw it for the first time the other night, and it's really well done. It's a stylish film. It's a smart film. There's good action. There's a lot of good dialogue. The cast is a monster cast, and everybody really signed up to it because it was a lower budget indie film, and Drew wanted to do it like that so he could keep control of it. But what happened was when he took it to the very first film festival, he showed, like, I think 15 minutes of the film, and a bidding war broke out over this film. So it's become that little engine that could, you know. It's like all of a sudden we're going to be opening in 2,500 theaters. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, But I'm, and it's also, this is like, this is my acting cred. I just got my acting cred. You know, this is my street acting cred. Sharing scenes with, you know, 2-time Academy Award winner Jodie Foster, who just doesn't come out to work much anymore. She just doesn't, you know, she's, you know, gone to directing and stuff. She's so accomplished.
Yeah,
I mean, she's just done. So she really pursued this film, and she, you know, was okay with me sitting there beside her and chewing up these scenes, man. That says a lot. This is as close to an Academy Award as I'll ever come.
Dude.
So yeah, I'm just very content with this, man.
You need to be nominated retroactively for Tong Po. I've watched Kickboxer Vengeance three. Dude, I love that movie. It's such a great representation of that franchise. I hope you got good feedback for it, man. That's a buttload of fun.
I did. I got a lot of love for that role, and it was weird. I shot that really fast. It was right before I was leaving to do Spectre, but I got tons of love for it, and I was happy. I mean, it's weird that film had all kinds of issues, a lot of issues. But I think for what they put together, and I really love that kid, Alon, the lead.
Yeah, dude,
he's just awesome. A good dude. He's a talented dude, man. I hope he blows up one day. It's going to be, you know, a rough road. It's always a rough road when you're kind of, you know, coming from the stunt world and going into acting. But I hope people, you know, somebody just, you know, takes notice of him and he goes big places because he's such a good dude and he's talented. But that was a fun role.
They tried to mess with that vibe of those Van Damme movies. Nobody ever quite nailed it. And I think that's why I liked it so much. It felt like it was in that universe. So I'm glad. Hey, you're a movie fan, man. How did you not mark out on her about Taxi Driver, Silence of the Lambs? Like, I know you're a contemporary at this point, but I would want to just sit there and ask a bunch of fanboy questions.
I did, but it's just, I didn't, I was, you know, it's weird because Jodie was nothing but super sweet to me, to the point where she even kind of ribbed me somewhat, and I wasn't even aware because I was just so, you know, I don't know, man, not intimidated because she never made me feel like that, but I was just so respectful of her. I was in awe of her.
Nice.
But sometimes I think she was messing with me just to get me to lighten up, but I just didn't want to. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be that guy. And she makes it very easy to not be that guy because she's just so super real. And she wants to talk about everything other than, you know, what she's done in her career. And she makes it real simple to do that, just to have a normal conversation. She's very, you know what her favorite thing to do? You'll be happy to hear this. What her favorite thing to do, like literally favorite thing to do, analyze football.
Oh, man. I do get steamed up.
She's obsessed with it, with statistics and of football.
Let me get
That's
the cell
what
phone,
she loves
man.
To do.
Let me get her cell. I'll book her on the show.
I know.
Yeah. Be great. All right. So Avengers is coming out this weekend, and I hope in what you just said, the last thing she wants to do is talk about all these hit movies she's had. I hope you appreciate that I waited until now to ask you this. In the no-brainer of all no-brainers, you coming back and doing something in the world of sports entertainment. Speaking of being a fan, I know how much you like that business at its soul.
Right.
Is that something you think you can fit into your schedule at some point?
I really want to. And I'll be honest with you. And this is the first time. And I'm going to talk about this because it's you and I love you. And me and you go way, way back.
Listen to this.
Sorry, you got to beep that F-bomb out. But
I'm letting it go.
This is all insider stuff. And I usually don't share. I'm really an old school kayfabe guy. But they reached out to me earlier this year to possibly come back and do that thing with Rhonda.
Oh, man.
And, you know, and I said that I would be willing to do it only because we tease something for me and Hunter to go to Mania next year. And they said, yeah, that would be great. I love that idea. And I said, well, that's great. I'll come back a few times during the year, and we'll tease it, and we'll work it, and we'll milk it, and we'll go to Mania, me and Hunter, next year. I love that idea. Let's do it. And so we talked. Literally talked for about like 3 weeks. And then they just stopped calling me. I sent a text to Hunter. I was like, hey, man, I don't know if you put any more thought into what's going on, man. I'm really excited about the possibilities. And I literally never heard back from them. They just stopped talking to me about it. And so, I was really kind of, man, I don't know what else I can do to try to, you know, I want to end my career the right way.
Right.
And I'm faithful and loyal to the WWE. I'm proud of being from there. And I want to do good business with them, but they just don't make it easy. You know, they just don't.
Well, it makes sense.
I don't know what the hell.
It makes sense that they would cool off because you're in Blade Runner and Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy and working with Jodie Foster. So why would you want someone like that to come in and be affiliated with your product, despite the fact that you've won all the championships and belts that you have?
I know that doesn't make sense at all. I mean, that'd be horrible for them.
Dude,
but I don't get it, man. But I told you, next year would be my last year. I'm turning 50 next year.
Wow.
I'd be willing to. I feel great. I'm physically in great shape. I never let up on that. I don't want to be the old guy in the ring, and I don't want to overstay my welcome. I just want to end my career the right way, and next year will be the last opportunity. So if we can't make something happen by next year, then I'm just going to officially hang it up. And, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you're doing
myself,
all right.
So I don't need to be there. I love it there, man. I still, even though the fans totally crapped on me last time I was there, I would still go back in a heartbeat and love to entertain them, and I would have fun doing it, man. I'd be happy to be there. But, I don't get it, man. I don't get that company. I just don't understand.
When you came out in your Georgetown jersey here, and it was the Verizon Center at the time, you got a big pop. Mm-hmm. Just remember in D.C., you always get a big pop whenever you come out.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's weird. My last run on house shows, I didn't get the reaction I did on television shows.
Right.
It was weird. Like, house shows was much more like, it was like old times.
Yeah.
It was great. It was fun. It was lighthearted. And it was more the TV shows where they just really, the animosity was, it was insane. And I still can't really wrap my head around it.
The house shows are wrestling fans. The TV shows are internet golems that want to hold up signs and make it all about themselves. I think I can describe what happened.
Absolutely.
There.
You couldn't have said it any better. I may put that on a T-shirt.
I give up full rights to you, my friend. Well, Dave, one of the things I can say is, having interviewed you for as long as I have over the years, you've not changed one iota with all of this fame and all of this success, and for that, I'm very happy. I know your fans are. Avengers looks incredible. I'm excited. You're an escape plan with Stallone and Schwarzenegger, all this great stuff.
I love that dude, man.
You have so much great stuff coming up. I couldn't be happier for you. Thank you so much for making the time on Today of All Days as the movie drops.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it, bud.
That's my guy, at Dave Bautista. Okay. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram.
I love your Twitter, by the way, man. It's so politically incorrect.
I'm so glad you noticed. Well, you're not exactly a paragon of political correctness yourself, sir.
No.
I mean,
you got to speak from the heart, man. Yeah, that's the way to live life.
Completely agree. I'll talk to you when you come back on, when Artemis comes out, all right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent, brother. Dave Bautista, everybody. It's Chad Dukes versus the world.
Yes.
Awesome, man.
I see you, bud.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later, brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.